Chapter 10. "So how long has your pump not been working?" I asked Brandt as I began to dig inside my pack for my tools.
"It's been a month or so," the sandy-haired mayor told me. "The handle seems to be working okay, but nothing comes out. A man traveled to the village a few years back to install the well, but I'm not sure how to find him again. We don't have the tools to fix it, and while I don't mean to complain, hauling water a mile uphill is only adding to the troubles in the village. We have about 40 people living here, and it's rare we have enough water for everyone to cook with, let alone bathe."
"Well, let me see what I can do," I said. "I understand pumps, so I should be able to help you with this problem." I pulled my tools out of my bag and knelt down to look at the mechanism. Then I tugged on the handle, and as Brandt had told me, it appeared to be operating with the proper amount of tension, but no water was coming out of the spout. This meant I was going to have to take it apart, and I thought that might be kind of fun given how long it had been since I'd fixed anything. I examined the mechanism to see how it was constructed, and I discovered it was fastened together with a rudimentary nut and bolt. So I got out my 6-point wrench and tried to unfasten the nut that would remove the top plate from the body of the pump, but I quickly realized the pieces were rusted together. I knew applying heat to the nut might help loosen it from the bolt, so I got out my torch. Then I crossed my fingers and hoped it would still have enough fuel to work, and I was pleased when I pressed the button and a stream of flame emerged. I heated the nut for a dozen seconds, and when I was done, I attempted to unscrew it again, and this time I was successful. I repeated the process with a second bolt, and I was finally able to remove the plate to inspect the pump's inner workings. When I examined it, though, the piston seemed to be intact, and the leather seal on the plunger wasn't cracked. "Huh," I muttered to myself. I was going to have to look further for a solution, so I put the parts of the upper section of the pump to the side and unscrewed the nuts that fastened the bolts to the base plate. It was apparent the flapper valve wasn't sitting flat, and when I lifted the valve, the problem was immediately visible. The pipe was jammed full with small sticks and leaves, and I scooped out as much as I could until I was fairly certain there was a clear space for water to flow through. Then I noticed Brandt was watching me carefully throughout the entire process, and I wondered if he'd understood what I'd done with the mechanism.
"So, did you see what I did?" I asked as I looked at the mayor.
"I just unscrewed the whole thing and I found a clog at the bottom. It was very simple for me to fix, and I think you could do it too if the pump stops working again."
"Sure, but I'm not sure what that tool is," the man replied as he stared down at my wrench with a puzzled expression.
"It's called a wrench," I explained, as I handed it to him. "I can even leave it here for you since I have another one in my bag. A blacksmith should even be able to copy the design and make you another one."
"And I saw you used flames for something," Brandt went on, and he looked up at me with his face wrinkled in confusion. "I've never seen that done before."
"Well, I think I'm going to have to hold on to my torch for the time being," I chuckled. "But if the nut and bolt seem like they won't come apart, you can apply any heat source or oil to see if it helps loosen them up. A lantern might even work if you hold it there long enough."
"Thanks, Joe," Brandt replied with a thoughtful look on his face. "Do you mind if I watch as you put it back together?"
"I was actually wondering if you'd like to try it," I grinned. "Let me show you how to hold the wrench, and I think it'll be fairly easy for you after that." I showed the mayor how to tighten the bolts on the base plate, and then how to put the simple piston back together inside the cylinder. Finally, we screwed the top plate back on, and I gestured for Brandt to try the pump again. When he grabbed the handle and pumped it up and down, a clear stream of water emerged from the spout. Several villagers had been watching, and they all cheered at the sight. A few of the men even stepped up to pat me on the back, and I grinned with relief that I'd been able to solve their problem.
"That was fascinating, Joe,"
Ariana cut in, and I realized the mermaid had been standing to the side and observing the entire process.
"I've never seen tools like these before. I honestly wasn't sure how humans got water, since I've always been surrounded by so much of it. I know you can't drink salt water the way mermaids can, and this is very impressive. I've never seen you fix anything before, and I liked it."
Something I've trained to do for a long time," I said as I rubbed the back of my neck and grinned at my blushing red-haired wife. "Thanks, Ariana. I can explain more about the specific way the pump works later."
I think I already understand a lot,"
the redhead told me with a shy smile, and, as always, I was impressed by her intelligence.
Thank you so much.
Emmy ran up to me and squeezed me on the arm.
You've done so much for our village. I wish I could offer you a feast to thank you, but...
We understand,
Rachel said as she walked up behind us.
I'm sorry things aren't better here, and I hope they will be soon. I hope the leaders of this kingdom can figure out how to help everyone. Can you tell me more about the biggest problems you've been having, other than the pump, of course?
Sure.
Emmy responded with her eyebrows furrowed, and she looked Rachel up and down.
Who did you say you were again? You look slightly familiar to me for some reason.
I'm just Rebecca,
Rachel muttered as she looked away from the mayor's wife for a moment.
I'm just someone who may be in a position to help someday. It's kind of hard to explain, but I'd still like to hear more of your troubles.
Okay, well, I'm sure you know about our biggest problem, which is the sleeping children,
the auburn-haired woman said as her eyes welled up with tears.
I have two daughters myself, they're 3 and 5, just little ones. No matter what we do, they won't wake up.
I'm so sorry, Emmy.
Rachel put a hand on the woman's arm, and I saw her lip was quivering with sympathetic tears.
I've heard about the situation, and it breaks my heart. Do you have any guesses about why they've fallen asleep?
I don't know. I think it all started around the same time as the changes to the animals in the forest.
Emmy sighed.
Sometimes Brandt can come home with meat like we used to have, and sometimes he describes the most horrific things. Animals with glowing eyes, or strange horns, and we hear the oddest noises at night. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about,
Jessamine said with a shudder, and I realized all the princesses had surrounded us now.
I've heard of these things, too,
Rachel replied, as a single tear rolled down her face.
Tell me, Emmy, do you have any idea if there's anyone behind all this?
The golden-haired princess quickly swiped at her cheek to wipe the tear away, but I wished there was more I could do to comfort her. Then I watched as she reached into her bag again for reassurance from Pablo, and her face immediately relaxed.
Well, have you heard of Gertha?
The mayor's wife asked. And the five of us looked around in surprise at the mention of the witch's name. The peasants out in the country hadn't believed the story, but maybe the citizens closer to the castle were more knowledgeable.
Gertha is a witch we heard about in our childhood tales, but lately, we've just been wondering if she's real. My mother always told me when I was little that if I wasn't good, Gertha would put me to sleep, and I'd live in a dream world forever,
And it just sounds like what's happening now, Brandt cut in, as he wrapped his arm around his wife. In any case, we're all fairly scared. If those jerks in the castle could just get their acts together, maybe we wouldn't be having these problems. I've heard the princess has gone missing for some time, and I'm not sure why she would do that when her citizens are having so much trouble. In any case, thank you for your help with the pump, Joe. And Rebecca, thank you for... well... everything you helped me with today.
You're welcome,
Rachel murmured as she stared down at the ground.
It was the least I could do.
Me too. I reached out to shake Brandt's hand, and he grasped it in a friendly motion.
I suppose we'll be on our way now,
Rachel said, and I saw her lower lip was jutted out from sorrow.
But thank you all as well. You've helped me too, more than you realize. I hope the castle will be more responsive to your needs from now on.
Okay. Goodbye, then, and safe travels to you. Brandt patted me on the shoulder one last time, and then the princesses and I all started to walk back up the path to the main road.
What exactly did you help each other with?
I heard Emmy mutter as we walked away, and I hoped the mayor didn't get into too much trouble with his wife, or tell Rachel's secret for that matter. When we got a couple hundred yards away from the town, Rachel suddenly broke down sobbing. She collapsed onto Sienna's shoulder, and my blonde wife grasped her tightly before leading the freckled princess over to a large rock where she could sit down. My wives all knelt down to comfort the crying princess while I hovered awkwardly in the background. I still wasn't sure Rachel was used to me, and I didn't want to make things worse with my presence.
Rachel, it's okay,
Jessamine reassured the freckled princess as she rubbed her on the back.
I know it must have been hard to hear Bran say that about the jerks in the castle, but the castle is exactly where we're headed right now to help make things better. They've been suffering so much while I did nothing.
Rachel sobbed as she covered her face with her hands.
I've been doing nothing at all, out of my own selfishness. And now things have gotten so bad. What am I going to do?
We'll figure it out together,
Sienna promised. My blonde wife attempted to sit down on the ground next to Rachel, but her dress was so form-fitting she had trouble getting her legs crossed. So she settled for kneeling next to her, and she placed a hand on the golden blonde's thigh.
Isn't that right, Ariana?
Yes,
the mermaid said with a nod.
Princesses always work together to solve problems. And Joe's here to help, too.
That's right, Ariana, I cut in. That's totally true. And it's my responsibility to assist with any problems you're having in your kingdom.
That's nice of you, Joe.
Rachel sniffled as she looked up at me with red-rimmed eyes.
I still wonder how you got to Fairyland from so far away. But I suppose that story will have to wait for another time. Come on, everyone. Let's head back to the road. I have a lot of lost time to make up for, after all.
We hiked back through the pine needles and remaining patches of snow to the main castle road, and it was all uphill from there. I wouldn't have minded taking a nice stroll, but Rachel kept going with a determined spring in her step, and my three wives and I all matched her pace.
The snow melted so quickly,
Ariana remarked from her place at my side.
I'm glad I got to see it while it lasted.
You've never seen snow before?
Rachel asked in between breaths as she panted from walking up the hill at such a fast pace. But she went on before my red-headed wife could respond.
No, I suppose you wouldn't have, being a mermaid and all. It's both beautiful and a big pain to deal with. Of course, the people in that village were using it as a water source, so there are practical uses for it as well. It has been very rainy this year, so I'm glad we had that storm. As the snow melts, it runs in springs off the mountains, so that'll be helpful too. I wish it would rain more, because that always helps my plants grow. Darn, I forgot to check my strawberries, didn't I, Pablo?
I suspected the golden blonde had started to ramble due to nerves, and I felt for her, because I was sure it was hard to return to the castle she'd avoided for so long. I admired the way she'd decided so quickly to come back to help her kingdom after living in solitude for such a long time. And I wondered what it was going to be like when we actually got there. We were only a couple of minutes at most away from the drawbridge, and I wondered if our old friend Carl was still standing at the gate. We walked the remaining yards to the castle entrance, and poor Carl was, in fact, still standing there. Before he saw us, he stared at the ground and fiddled with his helmet. But when he caught a glimpse of the princesses and I headed in his direction, he snapped to attention. Rachel hid herself at the back of our little pack, so Carl didn't notice her at first.
Oh, wow, your highnesses, you're back, the young soldier said, as his eyes practically bugged out of his head at the new dresses they were wearing.
He couldn't seem to keep his eyes from roaming up and down their bodies. But when he caught me staring at him, he blushed and turned away for a moment. He rubbed his neck, looked up again, and then he seemed to catch a glimpse of Rachel.
Sorry, I mean...
Wait, who are you? Carl pointed at Rachel with a strange expression on his face. I couldn't have imagined he'd been more than a teenager the last time she'd been at the castle, but something about her apparently made him take a second look.
Hello.
The golden blonde mumbled as she avoided eye contact with the guard.
I'm here to see Sir Vincent.
Yes, of course, Carl said as he squinted his eyes at Rachel. Your friends have already been to see him. I probably shouldn't speak to someone traveling with royalty this way, but have we ever met before?
I wasn't sure if he recognized her or if he was hitting on her.
Yes, it's possible, although I don't recognize you,
Rachel said as she raised her chin regally into the air.
Please announce to Sir Vincent that Princess Rachel has returned, and I'd like to request an audience with him. Actually, you know what? Never mind all that. I'll just find him myself.
The golden blonde princess marched in front of us and through the castle gates, and Carl stood there with his mouth hanging open.
Princess Rachel?
He gasped.
Are you serious? I thought she looked familiar.
As my wives and I followed Rachel through the gates, I looked over at the guard, shrugged, and flashed him a thumbs up. I couldn't blame him for being a little awkward around the princesses, since he was just a young soldier after all. It gave me a little rush when other men admired my wives, because they were so wholly mine, and I figured that if I was lucky, Rachel would be my wife someday too. The golden blonde princess continued to march across the castle yard, but then she stopped at the edge of an empty carved marble fountain and abruptly sat down. She pulled Pablo out of his bag, set him back down on her shoulder, and absentmindedly began to twirl his tail around and around as if it were a lock of her hair.
I can't believe how desolate it is around here,
Rachel sighed, and she rested her head in her hands. Then, when her shoulders began to shake, I realized she was crying again. Hey, it's all right, I reassured her. I raised my hand to pat her on the shoulder, but I wasn't sure if she would like it if I touched her. So I knelt down in front of the crying princess to try to make eye contact with her. I promise, Rachel, we're going to work everything out.
Okay.
The golden blonde sighed as she glanced up at me for a moment.
Thank you, Joe. You're very kind. Just look around here, though. It's so different from the last time I was here, when there were actually people around.
Much of the castle's courtyard was shaded, and huge drifts of snow still sat in the shadows. A cold wind blew through the air, and I shivered. The courtyard was even more deserted than it had been the last time we'd been here, and all I could see were a few lonely figures rushing around in the shadows.
Sir Vincent's chambers are still nice,
Jessamine reassured Rachel as she sat down next to her and rubbed her on the back.
And you said some of your belongings are here, so won't it be nice to see those again?
Yes, I suppose,
Rachel muttered and looked up, and I saw the redness of her eyes made her irises glow an even brighter green.
It's so strange to be back here, and I don't know how to approach Sir Vincent. I don't like him calling for people in my absence, or that he met with your father, Ariana. But then again, the four of you wouldn't be here if he hadn't. Regardless of... Like I said, I really have no clue about this whole prophecy thing, but I suppose I'm glad you're all here. Because I do believe you want to help me defeat Gertha.
Of course we do,
Jessamine responded in a soothing tone of voice.
We're here for whatever you need.
That's right, Rachel.
Ariana sat next to the freckled princess on her other side.
We're actually pretty tough, too.
I can't believe you actually got me out of my tower,
Rachel giggled, and then she snorted awkwardly.
Oh, oops. Sorry. I do that sometimes when I'm nervous.
When I was sure the golden blonde wasn't looking, I looked over at Sienna and fought against a smirk. It was the first time I'd seen Rachel do anything that was less than regal, and it was super cute. Well, we're all glad you're here, I assured the golden blonde. I appreciate how hard this is for you.
We can stay out here for as long as you like,
my blonde wife reassured the freckled princess, who was now holding Pablo and letting him run all over her hands and up and down her arms.
Carl's still been standing there this whole time, from what I can see, so no one even knows you're here.
If anyone sees all these purple dresses, they'll know right away,
Rachel sighed, and then she gestured around the empty courtyard.
Or maybe not. It's been so long since I've been gone, I'm not even sure the maids would know who I am. This is bringing back so much about my time spent as royalty. The servants who would wait on me hand and foot and help me get dressed, and the food I would eat. Gods, it seemed like I was never alone, and that's all I wanted. Especially when he was still around.
Anyway, I never even got to bake my own cookies.
The golden blonde princess giggled and snorted again at her own joke, and her hand rose to her face in embarrassment. This was a whole different side of her, and it was funny, to be honest. I looked down and tried to keep from laughing, and I could feel my face was red, which I hoped wouldn't give me away. Then Sienna grabbed my hand and dug her nails into my palm, so I was sure she at least noticed.
Cookies,
Jessamine laughed.
You're funny, Rachel. I've never heard you make jokes before, but I like it.
My dark-haired wife was so kind it helped her smooth over awkward social situations. And it was one of the reasons I loved her so much.
I'm sorry.
Rachel buried her face in her hands again.
When I'm the most nervous, I talk a lot, and I make stupid jokes, and I snort when I laugh, and... goodness, I hope I'm not making you feel uncomfortable. My former husband was always a little embarrassed by me, because he never thought I acted regally enough.
He sounds like a prick, I told the golden blonde, and she giggled again. No, I'm serious, because that's really fucked up. Rachel, you're great. And please, don't ever let anyone tell you anything differently.
Yes, well, it was a long time ago.
Rachel shrugged, and she looked out into the distance.
Maybe that's part of the reason why I wanted to be alone so badly. I didn't want anyone to be mean to me anymore, and... oh, wow, I'm sharing so much right now, I can't believe it. I just feel like you all are the only friends I have in the world, and I just met you.
Princesses usually have an instant bond,
Jessamine assured her.
Sienna, Ariana, and I have been best friends since the first minute we met each other. Isn't that right?
The other two princesses nodded their agreement.
Anyway,
Jessamine went on,
you can trust us with your life. And Joe, he's not like other men. You'll find out, especially after...
Not now, Jessamine, seriously,
Sienna said as she gave her sister wife a stern look.
Princess Rachel is worried about enough already.
No, I'm fine.
Rachel rubbed her eyes with the back of her hand and pushed herself to a standing position with a deep purple Pablo resting on her shoulder.
I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to be inappropriate. As you know, this isn't easy for me.
You were never inappropriate,
Ariana reassured the golden blonde princess.
Everything you said makes total sense to me. My husband wasn't very nice to me either.
I have no idea what these men were thinking, I told my wives and Rachel. Being with a princess is every man's dream, at least it should be, especially ones who are as beautiful as you. Out of the corner of my eye, I caught a glimpse of Rachel gazing at me, and I wasn't sure her pink cheeks were just from the wind.
All right.
Rachel cleared her throat.
I'm ready to go find Sir Vincent. Thanks to you all for helping give me strength. We do appreciate that, don't we, Pablo?
The little lizard on her shoulder bobbed his head in a nod, and then Rachel did something so adorable I almost had to kiss her right there.
Yes, we do!
The golden-haired princess replied to herself in a squeaky voice, as if the lizard were talking. She giggled again to herself, and then she began to quickly lead us across the courtyard to Sir Vincent's chambers.
It's going to be okay, Rachel,
Jessamine said as she struggled to keep up with the golden blonde strides. Despite being the shortest one of all of us, Rachel could definitely walk at a pace faster than my own. The freckled princess pushed open a door that led to a corridor with Sir Vincent's chambers, and she sighed when she saw the crooked paintings on the wall. She adjusted one of them to her satisfaction, and then she seemed to give up.
This place really doesn't look good anymore, does it?
Rachel muttered to herself. And then she balled up her fists with determination and marched along the corridor until we reached Sir Vincent's chambers.
Here I go, Pablo.
The golden blonde knocked on the door, and after a few moments, I could hear shuffling footsteps from inside the room. The heavy wood door swung open, and while Sir Vincent looked irritated for a brief moment at the interruption, his jaw almost immediately dropped when he saw who was standing on the opposite side of the door.
Your Highness! Can that possibly be you?